Did you ever make a decision to stop shooting that night?
Yes, I did.
And when was that?
Once I recognized that he hit the ground.
Well, he hit the ground and you continued to shoot, correct?
On my approach, yes.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
That's why you don't put the guy on the stand. Karen Conti joins us now. And Karen, you're on the radio Sunday night at what time?
From 7 to 9, but this weekend I'm preempted by some sport events.
Okay, and thanks for paying attention. That would be your Blackhawks game. Is that the one you're thinking of?
That's probably it.
Yes. Paul Harvey used to do this thing called Partly Personal, you know, like a confidential item that would appear in public. So how's Jerry?
Jerry's doing well. Jerry had open heart surgery. It's a big surgery, and Northwestern is a great place to go if you ever have any problems like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a long, slow recovery, but I'm Nurse Ratched, and I'm doing a very good job.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, tell him we all said hello, and we're hoping for the best there, Nurse Ratched.
Thank you so much.
All right, Karen. So Van Dyke on the stand yesterday in his own defense, and I got to say, not a great witness from my perspective, including the fact that we hear over and over again, officers are trained to shoot to stop the threat. And he went so far as to say he reloaded to shoot the knife out of McDonald's hand and then said, yeah, no, we're not trained for that. Is this why you don't put him on the stand?
Yeah, it's hard. If, you know, putting someone on the stand is very risky because, listen, no one's a professional witness. Even though police officers are trained in how to testify, they're trained in how to testify about traffic tickets and accusations against other people, not against themselves. Frankly, I didn't think he was that bad of a witness, and here's why. I just think that the defense needed to call him. Here's a guy who came and he shot very aggressively, as we know, and the jury is sitting there for 3 weeks, basically putting their lives aside to decide his fate. And for him to not get on the stand, you know, just seemed to strike me as the wrong maneuver. I get it. I would have been very hesitant to put him on the stand because of the cross-examination and because he's not the most articulate guy in the world. But I thought he did okay. I thought that he was genuine. I think, if anything, I think he conveyed that maybe he made a mistake, but I don't think he conveyed himself as if I went out to murder a guy today. I just don't know that a jury could take that away. They could take away he did the wrong thing, he overreacted, he misinterpreted the situation, but I just don't see him as a cold-blooded murderer on the stand. Now, your listeners and you may have a different view of that.
Well, yeah. But this brings right to what Justin was talking about off the air a second ago.
Yeah, I'm interested. I was reading a story a little bit earlier about the charges on the officer, Officer Van Dyke, and whether or not a jury could come back because of instructions from the judge or what charge was something less than first-degree murder. I think it was Sam Adam Jr. was in the paper saying second-degree murder could be an option as well.
Well, and we don't have those charges yet. No one has brought those charges. All we have is first-degree murder, and then we have the lesser charges of official misconduct. So it remains to be seen what actually the jury is going to get to decide, because if it's first-degree murder or nothing, that's almost a better scenario for Jason Van Dyke, because I think that would be a very big stretch for a jury to say he premeditated this murder. I mean, this is a guy out doing his job. Did he make a mistake? Was he too aggressive? Were there other options? And again, you have to think about this. Because there are other options, that doesn't make what he did illegal. There's nothing that says that you have to use the minimum amount of force necessary to thwart a threat. That is clearly in the law and clearly in the police training manuals.
Yeah.
So that people can say all the time, yeah, you should have used a taser, you should have not gotten out of the car. You know, he was, you know, I'm not defending him because I advocate him getting off. I'm just trying to put a dose of reality in here. The law doesn't say you have to withhold your gun until someone comes after you. In fact, one of the witnesses said you don't have to wait until someone starts committing an act. If he poses a threat and if someone walking down the street,
right,
having slashed a tire of a police car with a knife in his hand, acting goofy on PCP, if he reasonably believed that that guy could hurt someone else, he has the right to shoot to kill.
But isn't
and,
this,
you know, whether you like that law or not, that's the law.
I I feel like this. It's very nuanced in the way that the at the beginning of this trial, it was really, you know, all of our thoughts was there's really, you know, how do you prove that somebody was cold or calculated or premeditated in wanting to murder somebody? But isn't this really about taking the law into your own hands? Isn't this about the idea of this officer in particular saying, enough of this kid, I'm going to use the force that is assigned to me to go above and beyond the law to teach this kid a lesson for messing with police, slashing tires and acting erratically and not stopping when police are talking. Isn't that what this is about? Not necessarily about whether Van Dyke woke up with the idea of killing somebody that day?
You just made the argument for the prosecution very well. That's what they're going to argue. And certainly there was some testimony yesterday that was really bad for Van Dyke, and it was one of his own witnesses who said that Van Dyke related that during the course of the time of getting to the to the scene, he said, you know, why didn't the police shoot him already? You know, and maybe we're going to have to take out a gun on this one. So he kind of was thinking about it. And again, that could cut both ways. It could say he was premeditating a murder because he was sick of having criminals do their thing, or he was racist or whatever. But you could also say he knew that McDonald attacked a police officer.
Yeah, he knew this was protocol. Right. Right. That's the nuance of this whole trial. That whole thing right there. You're right.
All right. So here's my question, to follow up what you guys were just talking about. At what point does a jury have the ability to judge lesser charges? Do they have to be brought up by the judge? I don't understand how the rules work here. Yeah. If the initial indictment was for first, how is it anything less than first?
Because I believe what the prosecutor might do is to ask the judge to give the jury the lesser included offenses. So you have second-degree murder, and second-degree murder is first-degree murder, but a failed self-defense. So meaning it wasn't reasonable to believe that he was going to commit a crime. So that's what second-degree murder is self-defense that goes bad. And then the manslaughter would be, probably wouldn't be manslaughter, because that would just be something reckless that he pulled out the gun. And that doesn't make sense. So we're probably looking at second-degree murder, if anything.
Fear for his own life, does that play into this at all, and have they used it yet?
Well, fear for his own life or the lives of others. Because when you're a police officer, self-defense, or what we call self-defense, is not just yourself. If you, Steve, are sitting on a street and someone comes after you and you pull out a gun, it has to be, you have to counter the defense, you have to counter with like force. A police officer just has to believe either that a felony was committed and someone has a weapon and is resisting arrest, or that he has a deadly weapon and he might hurt somebody else. Somebody else. He was heading toward, you know, the McDonald's or the Burger King or whatever it was, and that's his testimony, that he was concerned that the guy was hyped up, the guy had a knife, he had already attacked a police car, and that he was likely to hurt somebody else. That's what the standard is.
Before I let you go, the question of video and animation and all the things that have been brought up here, we make instant decisions based on what we see on our phones now. What would you say to people listening right now to say, don't do that, you don't know, you weren't there, you're not in the jury room?
I agree. When jurors are given the task, they're very serious about it. But this video is very harming to Van Dyke, and his position is that, hey, the video didn't show what I saw. And so the jurors are left to say, okay, but how can I look at this video and say that he was approaching you when it's pretty clear on the video that he was veering away from you, right? So I think jurors like to see things, and they like to understand things based upon things that are tangible. And so that's going to present the biggest problem for him.
Karen Conti, she's not on the Sunday because of that sporting thing called the Blackhawks home opener. but she'll be back on soon. If you need to call her in ahead of time because you got your own troubles, what's the number at the office?
The number is 312-332-7800, or email me at WGN@askkarenconti.com.
Thank you, Karen.